Hello, everyone. My name is Matt Peterson. I'm the pastor of Awake Church and the founder of Hydrating Humanity. And we've started this podcast called Into the Deep to have different guests on here that we can go into the deep with. You know, that term comes to me from the imagery with Jesus when he's preaching and then he turns, he's at the seashore, and then he turns to Peter, who's sitting in his boat, steps into his boat, and says, let's put out into the deep together. So just the two of them, one-on-one, out in the deep waters where they could have perhaps deep conversation and put down for a catch. And, you know, with the guests that we have, there are things that are deep inside of them that can help us, that can help you. And so the purpose of this podcast is to be a great help to you. And I believe it can, in some ways, could be life-changing for you as you hear what the Lord is saying through Chris, our guest. And that is our guest today is Chris Gore. Chris is an author, been in ministry for many years. He's a Kiwi, meaning he lives in New Zealand or is from New Zealand, and has written several books, some great ones, which I've read two of them. We'll talk some about that today. But it's great having you with us today, Chris.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. So I'd like to, just as we dive in here, learn a little bit about you. Many of our folks may not know who you are or any of your history or anything like that. So can you just tell me a little about your journey with Jesus, how you met him and what's happened since then?
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home and became a pastor in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And really just got to that point in life where, you know, the Bible speaks about a form of godliness but denying its power. Mm-hmm. And I just got sick of doing church without seeing power. And so it's really been a quest. It's been a 30-year journey of really understanding the heart of God and really going after wanting to see everything that Jesus paid for. I'm not the one that just wants to sit back and just go with the flow. You know, it's like, no, there's way more. Jesus didn't go through all he went through, so we can just do church.
Right.
And so it's really that quest of wanting to see more. So I've just been on that journey. It's been an incredible journey, as we've already discussed off air. As things change, and you know, of enjoying the journey. And I'm just in this phase of life of just enjoying the journey. You know, things are twisting and changing, and as the depth of the Father becomes, you know, so much deeper in our lives.
And that really would be part of your, big part of your journey is the revelation of the Father in new ways. Would that be, would you say that?
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, there's been a significant part of that journey of understanding Christ, and, you know, which has been a great journey. And I tell people all the time that sometimes it's like we as believers feel like we're unbalanced. And it's like, you know, we're not designed to be sitting on a two-legged stool. You know, and we know the person of Jesus.
Yes.
Right? He's one leg on that stool, a vital leg. You know, it's like there's no question about that. And then the other leg is that of the Holy Spirit. And some, you know, a lot of believers will know that. You know, it's like, yeah, we've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but we need that third leg. And that third leg really is the leg of the Father, of really understanding the Father. And when we really begin to understand, if the revelation of the Father's out, everything in our life is kind of off. You know, so it's really been the journey, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, is really going after that journey of the discovery of the Father.
Yeah. And it's so powerful, isn't it? Because at least because I've had a bit of a similar journey in that, where you can oftentimes as a Christian, then if you don't have that revelation, you are performing. You're striving.
Without question.
You're not really a son, necessarily. That identity is, and you found similar for you as well in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's brought me into this place of real contentment.
Yes.
You know, like if you don't understand the revelation of the Father, then you're always performing for the Father.
Right.
As opposed to working or performing from the Father. And, you know, so it becomes this striving thing of trying to appease an upset Father.
Yeah.
You know, he's not an upset Father.
Right.
He's not, like we discussed off here, he's not four in the sky with his hammer ready to drop it on us.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's been a wonderful journey. It's you know, it's been a long journey, you know, and I think we're always in that journey.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't
pride
think,
doesn't end, does it?
It doesn't end. I tell people all the time, the best thing I can be is a novice.
Yeah.
On that journey of discovery all the time.
It feels like Paul had that same type of heart as well. I'm being changed, and you know, I'm the greatest of sinners towards the end of his life. You know, he didn't, and so he's just this constantly growing in God and having that humility. So I think it's a beautiful thing. And your journey spiritually has also had a journey physically, geographically, growing up in New Zealand. Then you lived in the States for how long?
We lived in the States for 16 years in California.
Okay, and you're a dual citizen, so you're...
I'm a dual citizen, yes.
So you're an American with a great accent. So Americans love to hear foreign accents, so you're easy to listen to with that New Zealand accent.
Just trying to work out how I can vote today.
Yeah, exactly. Right, it's right. So, and you are married. Tell me about your wife, kids, family.
Yeah, I'm married, one wife.
Yes, that's good.
33 years this month, actually. We're in November now, aren't we? Yeah, we're in November, so it's 33 years this month. And three adult children, they're 25, 27, and 29. Two of my middle and my oldest live in New Zealand, and my youngest lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and she's getting married next year. So
that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
That's great. No, it's wonderful. It's so... not only great to have you here, but I've heard about you for years and have wanted to meet you. And we just met yesterday. Of course, we've talked on the phone before, but I just so appreciate in your reading your writings and watching some of your ministry, the way that you minister, the heart that you have for healing and the supernatural, and how God has used that in your life. When was there a point in your life where you recognized that I'm called to this type of ministry, and what was that like, or how did you know that?
I think I'm still trying to work that one out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, am I called to it? I think that I really do believe personally that it should be the normal expectation of the life of the believer that when we pray for healing, that our prayers should be heard and answered. So I wouldn't say that the healing ministry is necessarily a calling. I believe it's our identity.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what I'm really pushing for is that healing doesn't become something from the pulpit.
Right.
But it becomes, you know, if we're not careful, healing becomes about bringing people to church as opposed to the church being the church, of the believers being the church.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really aiming for. But, you know, there was that point, though, where, you know, like I said, I was pastoring in New Zealand, and I just got sick of seeing the church without power. Mm-hmm. And so it was my journey of really pushing in for that, of going after that. And I had many years of going after that without seeing a person healed. It was probably an eight-year window, at least an eight-year window of ministering and praying for people and not seeing a single person healed.
Wow.
And it's pretty easy to say, well, I guess I'm not called.
Yeah, or this isn't real.
Or this isn't real, and quit. And but it was in that I do believe that if you want to see fruit, you've got to continue to push through, because just because somebody's not healed, it doesn't mean that you're not called. So we end up saying, well, I guess, you know, I need to take them to the pastor because he's the called one,
right?
You know, and you know, and that's not really quite where I'm at. I'm at, you know, that we can all heal the sick, we can all minister to the sick, and so there was that season where I never saw anybody healed for 10 years. I'm a very tenacious person. I've had to fight most of my life for many things, including, you know, as a child, there's four or five times in hospital where I was given up for dead, and you know, that wasn't expected. They didn't expect me to live, so I know how to fight, and you know, so I've pushed through those barriers. And just because I don't see something, for one, you know, the absence of a miracle doesn't change the nature of the Father. And so I've just really leaned into the nature of the Father, and in the absence, you know, I very much minister out of the finished works of the cross.
Yes.
So I say this, is that Jesus is not sitting in heaven making decisions on who he's going to heal and who he's not.
Right.
That decision's already made. And if we're not careful, because we don't see somebody healed, we say, well, I guess it wasn't his will. Mm-hmm. And we just water Christianity down.
Yes.
And so that's not where I'm at. I'm, you know,
full on.
Going for this thing of that it's when I don't see something happen, it doesn't change who he is or what he's paid for.
Right.
And so it causes me to come in closer, thinking, Lord, like, I prayed for that person and they never got healed. This doesn't work for me. Like, where's the shortfall? What am I lacking?
Right.
Not in a self-abasement, beating myself up way. Right. That doesn't work either.
Yeah. No, yeah. It doesn't. But I would say so many people quit at that point.
Yeah.
You know, or give up or throw it away or get wounded or whatever. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
And yeah.
I'm sure you found that to be true as well, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's a daily experience.
Right. Yeah. So that tenacity is so beautiful that you have fought and gone after this. So do you remember the first person that did get healed?
I do.
What was that?
I know his name too.
Really?
Yeah. His name was Earl. Yeah. And it happened in Pennsylvania, actually. Okay. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I remember it so clearly. And about 10 years on from that first person being healed, I was in Pennsylvania speaking, and I happened to mention the first person that was ever healed and said, and his name is Earl. And the class just kind of lit up and said, do you mean Earl the pastor? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's actually in the room next door.
Oh, really?
And I got to reunite with that pastor.
Yeah,
that's something. And yeah. So I remember very clearly, it was actually 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did that, of course you were being tenacious already, but once you saw that, did it just cause you even all the more to press in and...
Yeah, I mean, there's a point where you know that it's real.
Yeah.
Right? You know what's available, but you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it, it's like there's something that clicks inside. It's like, oh, it really is real.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And it's exciting. Just incredibly wonderful. And did you then, were you working at Bethel at that point? Or was after that was much later?
No, I was living in New Zealand at that point.
Okay, gotcha.
And we were in that transitional period of like, I was pastoring, not satisfied.
Okay.
I saw that miracle. Mm. The miracles actually started from that point in 2005 in Pennsylvania. Mm. And the miracles started to happen more on a regular basis. But I knew that. They were happening through me, but I knew I didn't really necessarily have the internal culture to facilitate or to really work. Okay, it happened, but why? So how do I contain that? How do I steward that?
Yes.
So that was the journey and coming to Bethel of understanding, you know, wanting to more steward my garden as such to work out how can I grow in this that it's not just for a season.
Yes.
This needs to be for life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that was 2005. Here we are, 2024, headed for 2025, 20 years nearly.
Gosh.
And now you've seen probably hundreds, thousands of people healed, and that's amazing.
It's been amazing. It's been a journey. It really has been a journey of discovery, a journey of learning, and it's certainly had its ups and downs. And
right.
Yeah.
And still probably have to be tenacious.
Absolutely. That's the one thing. I love the word tenacious. It's one of my favorite words. Mm. That's probably what really is required for someone to see continual breakthrough is that they have to be tenacious. It's really easy to, it's not difficult to see a few breakthroughs. Mm. It's way more, you need to be way more tenacious to see a life of breakthroughs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before we continue with the conversation, I wanted to take a minute to share about Hydrating Humanity. For the past 19 years, Hydrating Humanity has provided clean drinking water sources, hygiene education, and the news of Jesus' love to over 500,000 people in Eastern Africa, saving lives and transforming villages. You can make a huge difference in the lives of many by being a part of One Tribe, where $25 per month gives one new person clean water for life and reaches them with God's love. 100% of your monthly gift goes directly to fund projects. Please go to joinonetribe.com and join the tribe that is changing the world. So let's keep talking about miracles, healing. I know in the church, obviously the world, but just talking about the church in particular, there's a lot of confusion sometimes. There's a huge amount of the body of Christ that don't believe that it's even possible or that God does that anymore. And then for those that, do, there still is confusion oftentimes related to just a little bit what you touched on already. Is it God's will? Who's choosing who to heal and not to heal and all of that? So there's some mystery, I would say, around healing as well. What maybe some things that you have learned along the way to help people with the basics of is healing for now and for you and those type of things, just for a mindset?
Yeah, when we look at, say, Matthew 8, for example, we see a leper come to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if it be your will, if you're willing." Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you know, as a church, as a greater, when I talk about the church, I'm just talking the greater body. Yeah. As a greater body, it's easy to look at that and say, well, he asked, so it's okay for us to ask, you know, mm-hmm. Lord, is it your will?
Yeah.
And we end up, in many instances, it becomes our model for prayer. Mm. Lord, if it be your will. Mm-hmm. And I say that often we use that as a justification for our out when it doesn't work. Right. Lord, if it be your will. Right. Oh, they weren't healed, so I guess it wasn't your will.
Right.
So we see the leper come to Jesus and he says, if it be your will. Jesus never healed the man until the confusion of the question is cleared up. Mm. The man's clearly confused, if mm-hmm. it be your will.
Right.
So Jesus never didn't heal him
yeah.
until the question was,
that's really
the
good.
Confusion is cleared.
Yes.
Right, and he says, I'm willing, and he heals him.
Yes.
And that really needs to be the baseline for a healing ministry, mm. is actually knowing that it's the Father's will. What father would you ask for bread and he gives us a stone?
Yes.
It's the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
So really understanding the heart of a father is that Jesus is our role model. He is my only role model.
Right.
So everyone without exception that came to Jesus got healed.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
There's not one.
That's right.
So I don't, you know, I have people in my life that I look up to, that inspire me, that encourage me, that I learn from. But I only have one role model, and his name's Jesus, because he's the only one that everyone that came to him, he healed. Yes. And the word says, as he is, so are you to the world.
Yes, that's right.
So it becomes, he really is my only role model,
yeah.
an example of the way to do ministry.
Yeah, and so getting that settled in people's minds that he wants to heal, and not just wants to heal me.
Yeah.
Is, would you say, one of the large roadblocks to get out of the way?
Yeah, I do. I think it is one of the, and it's probably the most contentious one in many yes. circles that I minister in, mm-hmm. But we say, well, if he wanted to heal and it is his will,
yeah.
then why wasn't I healed? So therefore right. it can't be his will. And it's like, no, I'm not going to allow the word of God to be pulled to my experience. I lift my experience to the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so I live out of that. That doesn't mean that yeah. everybody I see ministered to is healed.
Right.
But it does mean that the word of God doesn't change.
Yes.
So I've got to have that so solidified and deep in my heart that I know that it's the Father's will.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Let's talk about faith a little bit. Of course, Jesus talked a lot about faith. You talk about faith in your book. It's called Position. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, it's really good. And in there, you talk about faith as well. And I love kind of the nuance or the position of faith in there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, faith is. I love faith. I think there's something very powerful about faith. I think it's in Timothy. I think I don't remember if it's first or second Timothy now. It opens and it closes with the same passage, and it says that we may grow in the nature and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that we may grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith to me is a byproduct of understanding the nature. Mm. When we grow in the nature of the person of Jesus, we understand then faith becomes the byproduct. So if we're not That's careful, good. We make faith something like I've got to drum this thing up,
yeah,
you know, which right. really becomes works.
Right.
It's like, come on, yeah, church. We've got to have faith. It becomes yeah. the try hard message.
Right.
Great way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes that try hard message of like, come on. And then faith yeah. really merely becomes a work.
Yes.
You know, come on, church, if you just had faith, we just need faith. You know, if I said right. that to you, you're probably right. going to go home and beat your chest and,
right.
you know,
yeah.
come on, you know, get into the word and I just mm-hmm. got to stir up this faith. And so there's an element of that that's true, but yet the Bible says that you're in him, mm-hmm. right? This is the baseline of the identity of the believer. You're in him. As he is, so are you to the world.
That's right.
Well, if I am as he is, then there's nowhere where he lacked faith, so therefore I shouldn't either.
Mm.
Right, because it becomes really the byproduct of understanding my identity of being in him.
Yes.
The one that didn't lack faith.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's really just most of my time is certainly not trying to drum up faith. Most yeah. of my time is really understanding the nature of the Father, the yeah. nature of Christ.
Yes.
Christ is my role model. And out of that, faith becomes the byproduct.
I love that. I love that. And I also noticed that when you talked about faith in your book, it was faith in what?
Yes.
Right. And I think that's a powerful point if you want to expand on that.
Yeah. You know, this faith in what? So, you know, we look at the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the story because Martha receives a rebuke from Jesus where she said, mm-hmm. if you had have just been here, yeah. Lazarus would have been raised from the dead. And Jesus turns to her and says, Martha, have I not told you? Have I not told you? Which is really a rebuke if we think mm-hmm. about that, because mm-hmm. it's saying what he's really paraphrasing here. Haven't we already spoken about this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a reminder. Haven't we already spoken about this?
Right.
So we go back in that passage to where Jesus had spoken to Martha about it previously.
Yeah.
Jesus says to Martha previously, have about faith and believing in Jesus. And if we're not careful, yeah. it becomes more about the miracle than it becomes about Christ.
Yes.
And so when it's coming back to the simplicity of being in him, of knowing that we're in him and our eyes are on Jesus, the eyes are not in the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get our eyes on Christ and in the nature of Christ, then faith just becomes that faith is the mere byproduct, and the miracle
yes.
is the mere byproduct of understanding who Christ is and who's in mm-hmm. us and who we're in.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And just the eyes fixed on Jesus.
Eyes fixed on Jesus.
Not on
yeah.
my ability to do something through my faith. Really, really good.
I think that we've, you know, I put it like this. I think sometimes we've overemphasized faith and mm-hmm. we've underemphasized Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
You know, I think that faith has an important role, but it becomes more the byproduct of making sure that we're overemphasizing or really those eyes are fixed on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. How about, if you wouldn't mind sharing maybe two or three stories of people getting healed in the last year or so that you've seen, just maybe that come to mind?
Yeah. One of my favorite stories is I'm really embraced the, not the concept, that sounds like it's, I don't like the word concept, but I really embraced the concept of union.
Mm-hmm.
Right, of really yes. understanding that we're in him and he's in us, that we're inseparable yes. from the Father. That, you know, separation is actually an illusion, is that you're actually one with him.
Yeah, that's right.
So it says in Mark, in the book of Mark, it says that Jesus couldn't heal many in Nazareth
yes.
because of their unbelief,
mm-hmm.
right? And I get quoted that all the time.
Right.
You know, well, Jesus couldn't do many miracles,
right.
you know,
yeah.
because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
And I rightly bring out that, however, the very next verse says, or the continuation of that verse says, except where he laid hands on them.
Okay, right.
Right, so yeah. therefore, the healing of the laying on of hands was perhaps Jesus' secondary anointing.
Yes.
His primary anointing was union with the Father.
Mm, interesting.
Right, so when it didn't yes. work, he'd lay hands on them.
That's interesting.
Right? Yeah. As opposed to yeah. just ministering out of that place of union.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So one of my favorite, and I think this one is in the book, was yeah. I was flying from Austria to Germany and on a plane, and the lady that was sitting next to me, I'm a very introverted person. I don't really like to, I find it difficult to talk to people proactively as, mm-hmm. you know, I'm no problem if they come and talk to me, but it's, you know, and so, you know, plane time is solitude time. I love long flights and I just love to dial out and, you know, I, I'd love to take an 18-hour flight and not talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, it's when I get my solitude and this lady sits next to me on the plane and she asked me in flight, like, were you in Austria on business? And I said, yes. And, you know, just left it at that. And she asked me, you know, what business are you in? I said, I'm an author. You know, left it at that. And then she wanted to know what I write on. You know, it was getting deeper.
Solitude is not going to happen. Yeah,
my solitude is falling apart.
Yeah.
And I told her that I wrote on the supernatural. And and I could see, you know, I could see that she swallowed the, took the hook, line.
Yes.
Bait.
Yep.
And the rod. You know, the whole lot.
Yes.
She bit, you know. Yeah. So then I proceeded to ask her, you know, were you in town on business? And she said she was an investment banker and she worked for a company in Chicago, had worked but had just lost her job and was involved in a lawsuit with the company. And I asked her what that was over, and she said that she'd slipped in the office and she'd ruptured every disc in her back.
Oh boy.
And I said, gosh, you know, ouch, that must hurt. What am I looking for? I'm looking to see whether she's healed or she needs healing. And she said, ouch, all right, you know, I'm in huge pain. And I said, well, can I try something? I don't like to use those terms, you know, can I pray for you? The church or the world is used to powerless prayers.
Right.
You know, so we said, can I pray for you? You know, they think you're going to lean down on the bed at night. You know,
hallelujah. Exactly. Before you go to sleep. You know? Yeah, right.
And so I said, can I try something? And she looked at me with great fear, and I said, you know, it's I promise you I'm not going to hurt you, but can I just rest my hand on your shoulder just for a second?
Yeah.
And put my hand on her shoulder, and I'm contemplating and meditating on a couple of scriptures. You know, John 15 is probably one of my favorite ones, where it says, I am the vine, you are the branch, right? Most of the church is trying to become something that Jesus said we already are.
Yes.
Right? So I'm just contemplating inside on, you know, Father, you know, I thank you that I am the branch. I am a fruitful branch. I'm contemplating on Galatians 2:20, you know, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me.
Yes.
Right? And I just take the hand off the shoulder and say, how's that? And she looks at me and she goes, What did you just do? And I said, why is that? And she said, I'm covered in goosebumps. And I didn't respond to that. I think it's just recognizing the presence, you know.
Right, exactly.
And I said, what's the second thing? And she said, this is really hard to explain to you, but she said, when you touch me, something lifted off me.
Mm.
And I'm like, really? I said, do you want me to do it again? And she says, touch me, do it again, touch me. And, you know, I just rest my hand on her again and did it again.
Yeah.
And just contemplating, reminding myself of my identity, that I'm in him.
Yeah.
Take the hand off her and I said, okay, so how's that? And she goes, wow. She said, I can't fully test this till we land. But she said, this is the first time since the accident I've been pain free.
Mm.
And the plane's coming in for land and we land and I kind of forget about it. And she picks it. I'm on the inside middle seat. She's on the aisle seat.
Mm.
She picks up her things. She walks out. I'm behind her and we get to the plane door and she points at the wheelchair at the plane door and she says, you see that wheelchair? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, it's mine. She said, that's what I came in on.
Right.
That's what I live in.
Oh, wow.
And she said, and I don't need it anymore. And she just walks out and leaves the wheelchair behind.
Awesome.
And so, you know, there's things like that where, you know, the miracles come out of that place of rest. You know, it wasn't me striving to make something happen. It was just, you know, it's just that's how I believe the normal life of the believer should be.
Mm.
And I mean, did I ever see that lady again? No. Did I ever hear from her again? No. Right. But I know that she had an encounter. We got to have a great opportunity to talk to her that day about that's just the Father's expression of his love towards you.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful, that's wonderful beautiful. Testimony. One of the other ones that I thoroughly enjoyed, this happened in, it's a couple of years ago, but it's so fresh to me because I was just in Korea and it popped up in my Facebook stories, you know, this day, you know, X amount of years, 3 years ago, whatever it was, you know, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I remember that. And I happened to, I texted the pastor right then to say, hey, this just popped up in my Facebook stories of this lady, and she said, well, I actually happened to be at the lady's home right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And got to FaceTime with her again.
Wow.
And but that lady had just been given a few weeks to live, and she had a descending, she had a tumor in her descending colon that spread over 5 inches, and she was just weeks off death. And she'd go, she had gone to the doctor. I've got the internal scope photos of the before, showing the tumor, showing it ready to break through the visceral wall and what have you. And she got ministered to on a Friday night. She goes back to the doctor on a Monday, and she's got a brand new bowel. Like, brand new. I've got the internal photos of the brand new bowel after, like, brand new.
No tumor.
I mean, the lady's probably, I don't know, I'm terrible with age, but she's probably pushing, probably at least 80.
Yeah.
And she goes back to the doctor and is confirmed as a brand new bowel. And I've had that independently verified by two cancer surgeons in Australia and a radiologist in Australia who have all looked at that and said, that is a stunning miracle. One of them was a non-believer radiologist who said, you know, that can't be the same person.
Wow.
What I see of the bowel of this, the second one, would be the bowel I'd expect to see in a newborn baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Remind me and I'll show you the photos.
Awesome. I'd love to see it. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. They're not pleasant.
No, but that is.
Especially the first incredible one.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome. Oh, I just love that. Thank you, God. He is a healer. And do you remember when you prayed? Do you remember praying for her even? Was it similar of, you know, kind of focused on the presence of Jesus? And
it was actually in Malaysia. I'm actually heading back there next year. It was a good, wonderful church in Malaysia, and it was just body ministry.
Yeah,
most of the significant miracles that I actually see is it's not about. I actually work very hard, Matt, to. Like, let's just say we did a healing service, and I'm like, okay, if you need a miracle, come to the front, and I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
I really just, I feel like I've just undone my message, you know, and it's not about a man of God. It's about the God of man. It's about the body doing it.
Yes.
So that night, it was just getting people to partner up with people, and people prayed, and and the lady, there was actually seven ladies that night that were healed of terminal cancer.
My goodness.
They're all being doctor verified, but that was the only one I actually got the doctor's reports on. I got like about eight pages of doctor's reports and the internal scopes and everything.
Wow.
It's very hard sometimes to get verification follow-up, particularly in a foreign country where, you know, most of those doctor's reports were not written in English, apart from the doctor had written in English, tumor not seen anymore.
Wow. That's awesome.
With the photos. So
I love that. Thanks for sharing those. So you mentioned something about the presence of God, and scripture came to mind of, it says, I think it's in, maybe it's Luke 5, where the power of God was present to heal. I think it mentions that one time maybe in the scriptures of when Jesus healed the paralyzed person.
It's Luke 5:17.
Luke 5, yes. And so I wonder, just asking kind of what's going on the inside of you when you're praying for people, do you feel the presence of God or the power of God, or is it more so faith, just believing, staying centered in Him? How does that process go internally with you when you're praying with
them? I'm not a great feeler.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a great feeler, and I'm not a great seer. You know, there's many of us that can feel the presence, you know, and it's just like it comes as, you know, as waves or whatever. I'm not like that, you know, and it used to really frustrate me. I thought I was lacking in something. But I realized it's just the way I'm wired, you know, so I'm not striving to be the feeler.
Yes.
I live more out of knowing. I just live more out of revelation of, well, who is the Father? So yes, I love the presence.
Yes.
But if I reduce presence to a feeling, I guess I'm going to come short every time.
And so, you probably wouldn't minister even.
I probably wouldn't minister, you know, because it's like, well, I don't feel Him here tonight, so therefore He's not going to move tonight. Well, it's like, no, He's with me. He's in me. He's in you.
Yes.
He's here. The presence of the Lord was present. That scripture says the presence of the Lord was present to heal.
Yes.
Right? And it says present to heal all. Who is the all? This is a slight little deviation from the, but who was present to heal? Who was the presence present to heal? All.
Yes.
Who was those that were present? The Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But how many were healed in the story?
Just the one,
Just the one, which is the crippled man that was laid down through the roof.
Yeah.
And to that one man, he said, son, He said, your sins are forgiven, take up your bed and walk. He did not say, take up your bed and walk. He said, your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
So I really do believe there's something very connectional between knowing how much we're forgiven. Maybe we can only walk in the level of power to the extent we know we're forgiven.
Mm.
So when we begin to realize that I can't be any more forgiven than I already am, then I begin to walk in that place of, you know, there's a powerful declaration. Son, your sins are forgiven you.
Yes.
Take up your bed and walk.
Yes.
And I've got to walk in that place of knowing the Father's not holding anything against me.
Mm-hmm.
I am forgiven.
Yeah.
It's his forgiveness that precedes repentance.
Yes.
It's not my repentance that brings his forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance.
That's right.
It's not my repentance that brings his goodness.
That's right.
And it's out of that beautiful place that we see that, you know, that's been a journey of, it's been a recent journey of really understanding the forgiveness of God and, you know, really understanding, really coming back to that original question. It's not about what I feel.
Yes.
It's about who I know.
And I think that's so helpful because I think most people would be like you in that sense of not feeling, sensing all of those things and maybe not stepping out because of that.
Yeah.
And so that's so encouraging that this, you know, you're operating from who you are and what you know in him, not, and who you are in him, and not something you're feeling in a moment. And that's super encouraging for all of us.
If I only pray for people where I felt something, I probably would have prayed for three people.
Right.
You know, there has been three occasions where I've really felt something and I've acted on that.
Yeah.
Or there's only one time that I actually saw something.
Mm.
You know, I actually saw, it's so hard to describe because I don't have the experience in it apart from the once where I actually saw a miracle come out of my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And I saw it go across. It's so hard to describe because I lack experience in it.
Yeah.
But I saw the miracle come out of my mouth. I saw the miracle fly across the room. I saw it hit the person.
Oh.
And then I saw the person healed.
Mm.
And it's only happened once.
Yeah.
You know,
20 years of ministering in one time.
Yeah, one time. One time it was the scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, a handful of times it's been the feeling, but most of the time it's just been knowing and living in the nature of who he is and who I am in him.
That's super powerful.
And who he is in me.
Yeah. That is more encouraging than you realize, really, for everybody, you know, that we can do the same thing.
We absolutely can.
Yeah, which touches faith as well and union with him. Hey, if you are just getting to know Awake Church or found us through this podcast, I just want to share a little bit here. Our mission is to know Jesus personally, to become progressively more like him, and make his name known everywhere. We like to say, know God, take action. We are a community of awakened sons and daughters of the King, growing together, loving and worshiping God together, and releasing his love into this world. You can learn more about our leadership team, our values and beliefs, and check out upcoming events at awakechurch.com. You know, I would say all of us, and you're going to see this more than me, I'm sure, but in pastoring a church, you pray for people to get healed. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's just so hard, especially if they die. And when you feel like this should not have happened, and all the different feelings related to that. And then, of course, when you're around people who have done the same thing, they prayed for someone, they didn't get healed, they can pull back in their faith, they can shrink back, kind of as Hebrews 10 talks about, from God as well. I have friends who are not walking with the Lord anymore, and when I talk to them, it has to do with this very thing. So, you know, what would you say to people who haven't had the prayers answered and maybe struggling with what needs to happen or what am I doing wrong or, you know, all those internal things that happen? How would you help them stay focused, grounded, and not shrinking back?
Yeah, I think it's probably a longer answer than we have time for today. Yeah. But, you know, I think that I really do believe, Matt, that the baseline or one of the roots of all of that would be intellectual offense will shut down the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And most people that I encounter that don't believe in the supernatural, if you could very quickly get to the root and say, why?
Yes.
And they would be, well, I prayed for my mother and it didn't happen. And so therefore it's not real.
Yes.
And so what we end up doing is we end up defining God by our experience as opposed to the word. And intellectual offense creeps in and we become offended at God because we've created our doctrine around our experience as opposed to the person of Christ.
That's right.
And I do, it really is a big deal.
Yeah.
There's most people that would come against me and saying it's not real. In most cases, they've once believed, you know, and they've allowed that thing, they've allowed offense to creep in.
Yes.
We all have, we've all deal with that. You know, it's not that I haven't. I live in this tension, Matt, of like, for the listeners that are listening that don't know my story, I got a 29-year-old daughter with disabilities, severe disabilities, which is, you know, which is a longer story to share. But, you know, I had an encounter with the Lord in 2008 where my daughter is undergoing significant major spinal surgery, where I walked into that room and it was touch and go, really, whether she was going to make it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'd lost her blood, all of her blood, multiple times over in the same surgery. And I stood in that room that day and I pulled out a chair and I set the chair at the end of my bed, at the end of her bed, I'm sorry. And I said, "Devil, it's your seat. You're going to take a seat and you're going to watch what I'm going to do." Mm. And I'm a father. I'm confused. I'm just so confused. It was, you know, earlier in the healing ministry, and I'm just so confused and believing for breakthrough that this wouldn't need to happen, the surgery wouldn't need to happen, but yet here I am, you know, with her facing a 9-hour surgery. And, you know, and I stood there and I said, "You take a seat because you're going to watch." And I said, "Lord, I'm so confused, but one thing that I'm not confused about is who you are.
Yes.
And I'm going to worship you, and I'm gonna exalt you, I'm going to praise you." And I walked around that room worshiping God in that room, not to convince God to do something because it's already done, right? But I wanted to worship God that the enemy can see that I'm not going to be offended at God. And I'm going to continue to worship him in my state of confusion. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly in that point. And he said, "If you would declare of my goodness wherever you go, my goodness will always show up." And so we all have reason to be offended.
Right.
But it's how we deal with those disappointments in our life that determines the fruitfulness of tomorrow. And we all have disappointments. I get so many disappointments. You know, trust me, I'm just a few weeks off losing someone who I've been ministering to, because most people that I get involved in their lives, they become friends. So I just lost a friend just a few weeks ago, just been in his funeral just a few weeks ago. So we all have reason to, disappointment's always at the door knocking.
Yes.
And it's whether we partner with that, and there's nothing wrong in us mourning. The Bible says to mourn and grieve with those that are, you know, in loss.
That's
so
right.
It's like I grieve and I mourn in loss with those that I've lost or those that are close to me, but I can't camp there.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got to get up and I've got to go after the next one. And it's just like, you know, I've got to put that behind me without making sure that disappointment is dealt with and offense is not lingering, because I haven't changed the nature of God to my experience.
Yes.
And I push in and I go for the next one. And trust me, it's a battle sometimes. Yeah. There's sometimes where I feel like, oh gosh, you know, like, man, I just, you know, had 5-6 blows in a row, you know, it's like, should I just quit?
All right.
You know, and it's like, I do face that. It's confessions of a healing minister. It's like, trust me, disappointment and discouragement come. And it's like, it's in that place though, that I need to refresh myself in the Lord and keep my eyes on him and say, you know, be that tenacious person. Hey, I'm not backing off. I'm not changing the subject just because of my experience.
That's right.
And, you know, push forward into the more. Yeah.
It's important for all of us, every single one. And not to back off. I'm so thankful that you haven't, that you stayed in there and we'll continue to see God do amazing things.
It's been tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it comes back to that tenaciousness. You know, it really does require tenaciousness. You know, there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't want to quit ministry. You know, you know, the ministry life is not exactly easy, especially when you're on the front line ministering to the sick all the time. You know, I get my blows, I get my victories, you know, and it's like I tell people all the time, you know, you have your mountaintop experiences and you're in the valley, But, you know, that doesn't happen once every 3 months. I'm on the mountaintop five times a day and I'm in the valley five times a day.
Right.
You know, I'm up and down all the time. It's like, wow, this is amazing. You know, and half an hour later, it's like you get the phone call that you just lost somebody.
Right.
You know, it's like you're up and down and it's like, you know, you get your victories, you get your defeats. But I'm just determined that that doesn't change the nature of Father. Yeah, he's with me in the highs and he's with me in the lows.
Right.
We come back to that message of union. You know, I am one with him he is one with, he is in me, I am in him.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't change his nature. And I just continue to push forward to see breakthrough and helping to take the body into that place of seeing breakthrough that together. Like, I'm not satisfied until we see everyone that comes to the body healed. And that's what I believe it should be. That's the gospel.
Yes.
We are the body. It's not me. I'm a part of the body, but we are the body.
Yeah. Ah, boy, I'm with you. It reminds me of John 14:12. Of truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these. And it's just that tenacity. I think that's what Jesus, I think, wants from us, to not give up and looking at him, keeping our eyes on him.
Yeah. The intellectual offense really is a major, major issue in the body.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the most, I actually believe it's the biggest issue in the body for those that don't believe in miracles.
Yes.
It's because they believed in something, it did not happen, and now they don't believe in it because now they're offended at the Father. And we use language like this, well, the Father, you know, he chose not to heal. I'm like, well, that's not scriptural.
Yeah, right. That's right.
He did. It's called Jesus.
That's right.
It's paid for.
He gave it all. That's right.
You know, he gave it all. So he's not, like I said, how we started. Yeah. He's not sitting in heaven deciding who he's going to heal and who he's not.
Yeah.
Do I walk in that mystery?
Yes.
Do I, or tension might be a better. Do I walk in that tension?
That's right.
You bet I do.
Yeah.
I walk in so much tension you wouldn't believe. Sometimes it feels like there's rubber band that's stretched. I mean, there's so much tension in my life and different things, but I just refuse to change the nature of God based on my experience.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, as we come to the end of this, I would love for people to know how to read your books and how to get hold of or learn more about your ministry as well and get help. But would you mind praying for just as anyone who's watching this who might need healing in any area, or perhaps they're disappointed.
Yeah.
And the Lord wants to touch them right now and help them get right back on the horse, get refocused on Jesus.
Yeah.
And let those wounds go. Yeah.
Yeah. So Father, we thank you that you are a good Father, that you truly are a good Father. And Lord, I just pray today that for anyone that's dealing with disappointment and offense, Lord, that this morning that there'd be a recalibration of our hearts, Father, that our hearts would be turned back to the role model of the person of Jesus, that everybody that came to you without exception was healed. So, Father, Lord, may our hearts be recalibrated and may healing begin to flow into those places of disappointment, into those places of intellectual offense, into those places where we blame you. Your word says that you came to give life and to give it abundantly, but it's the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
So, Father, I pray, Lord, that even this morning that there'd be a change of mind where we have blamed you for the loss, where something has been stolen, where we have blamed you, Father, but you are the giver of life and that you give and you give it to us abundantly. So, Lord, I pray that there be a healing of hearts today and a refocus back to the power and the simplicity of the gospel.
Mm.
And, Father, where there's breakthrough that's needed in people's lives of healing that needs to happen, Lord, that healing will just begin to flow. Father, right now I just speak to bodies that are broken. I speak to people that are suffering with cancer, Lord, and we give you thanks that you did not, that Jesus was not sent, that sickness was not sent to teach us a lesson, but Jesus was sent to teach cancer a lesson.
Mm.
So God, where there's people that have got cancer this morning, we just declare the victory of the cross into people's lives for autoimmune diseases. Father, we declare the victory of the cross over autoimmune diseases. Father, over diabetes. Father, over broken bones. Lord, that your healing grace would just begin to flow right now. Father, right even into I see people with traumatic brain injuries, Father, with even things like post-traumatic stress disorder, Father, the healing grace of the Father would begin to flow right now, that those minds, that people's minds would be snapped back into order. Father, we declare your goodness and your love and your grace of your healing power over these people right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for the victory of the complete victory of the cross.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, of course.
Thanks for coming here all the way from New Zealand. Thanks for having this time with us this morning on this podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I love doing this.
Oh, good. So Position, I've been talking about that book. What other books have you written?
Yeah, my two that I've written in the last couple of years are Positioned. And Apprehended Identity. Identity is probably my largest selling book. It's doing really well. I mean, I just get comments on that all the time. You know, I got one on Facebook yesterday. I cannot express in words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Chris.
Awesome.
You know, and people that are saying to me, I've been in church 40 years. Why have I never heard what you've talked about in this book in church? And I can't answer that. I don't know, but it's in the book. You know, really talk about the message of union, primarily about the message of union and the heart of the Father. So that's Apprehended Identity.
That's great.
Positioned is my latest book. It's positioning yourself to receive and maintain your miracle. Mm-hmm. That's my latest book. And then I think I've written, I think it's nine now. So I've got Walking in Supernatural Healing Power. And then The Practical Guide to Walking in Healing Power.
Yeah.
There's The Perfect Gift.
Okay.
Which is for parents with special needs children.
Okay,
It's called The Perfect Gift, Seeing the Child, Not the Condition.
Mm.
And that's got 10 stories there of children that we've followed that have been healed significantly or completely healed of autism. And so we follow 10 children's lives and over the years and written stories and keys of breakthrough into each story.
Wow.
So that is there. And then I have Overflow, Daily Experience to Heaven's Abundance.
Okay, and all those books and Amazon? They're
all
on
Amazon.
A website or,
The best place is Amazon because they're available. You know, Amazon do direct publishing.
Yeah.
So you can pick them up in 9 printing centers around the world, including the States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia. You know, so it's the best place to pick them up.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We need to read those and look forward to having you back here as well. And just want to invite everyone watching, listening, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow. You can make comments on there. We'll have more content like this in the future as people come through and we get to interview them. But Lord bless and thanks for watching.